Meryl. Hi, I'm sorry I didn't remember your name the other day. I'm very, very bad with names. I apologize.
Oh, that's no problem. Not a problem whatsoever.
Because it's a little hard to hear. I still didn't hear it. Is it Monica or
It's
Malka? I'll
Malka.
remember it. Malka. That's a very interesting name. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Anna.
Good evening.
Evening.
We're going to begin. We're on the Sulam commentary from the Zohar for Parasha Vayera, section 11. The first pasuk in section 11 is number 159, and we'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bibkilu erchimu udkilu udkilu erchimu le'akta l'shem yud hei b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. V'ginei kach tad itvasar Avraham by darga hawa amar kimad itmar biti vayomer shov ashuv elecha kait haya vayomer lakiti man hawa vedahu betach ha'ohel v'alda v'sara shoma'at hay darga d'hawa ma'alel imeya mandela hawa d'ma'at mikadmat v'naditi v'sara shoma'at betach Ahel ha'dahawa mevaser v'amar shov ashuv elecha ka'et haya v'hine ven v'sara ishtecha. The translation. Therefore, it was this grade, namely the tenth door, which is Malchut, that informed Avraham of Yitzhak's birth, as we have explained the words. And he said, I will certainly return to you at this season. Although it reads, and he said, it does not say who said, so this is the tenth door, because and he said refers to the Shekhinah. And Sarah heard this grave, which is the tenth door, from which she had heard nothing before, as it was speaking with Abraham, as it is written. And Sarah heard it, the words of the tenth door, which declared, I will certainly return to you at this season, and lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. My commentary. As a student of Kabbalah, did you ask why Sarah had not heard from the tenth door? In my opinion, Sarah, or any woman, is not eligible to connect with the tenth door until a year prior to her period of childbirth. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was surprised because of finding out that the name Yiska belonged to her, and it has to do with meaning cycle, you know. So I was surprised by that.
The name Yitzhak belonged to Sarah? That's what surprised you?
No, it's Yiska when I did the seven prophetesses study.
Okay.
That came, and it had to do with sight, you know, and
right.
sight and seeing. And because they say her prophecy level was higher than Abraham's, you know, I was surprised.
You were surprised that her prophecy level was higher than Abraham's, or you were surprised
no,
that,
I was well, surprised
that,
with
that name was associated with her?
Right.
Okay.
Because I feel like women hear from Hashem before they have, I mean, I was 10 years old, and I hadn't had my period yet, so it's another shocker, you know, here. But anyway, I know it's, it has to be some kind of reference that's correct, so... There's always more than, what do you tell us all the time, 70 different explanations to something.
There are 70 explanations. So, that, and when a woman or when a male becomes, reaches puberty, those are, you know, it varies with each person because it's related to the tikkun of that person.
Mm-hmm. And probably to the level of consciousness, because if Abraham could understand that the sun and the moon and were not, that was not God, and he hadn't as of yet been circumcised, so the, to be the same reference to Sarah, you know, it was a different level of consciousness after she heard the words at the tent door.
I agree. The other aspect is tent door being code words for Malchut. And Sarah, as a woman, is both connected to Malchut and to Bina. So why she couldn't hear from the tent door from Malchut prior to this, there's a question there. We know that Sarah was correcting the mistakes that Chava had made. She was a reincarnation of Chava. And we also know that Rachel and Leah were correcting. One was correcting the mistakes from Chava that related to Bina, and one was correcting the mistakes from Chava that was related to Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that Sarah, being connected to Chesed through her marriage to Abraham and her aspect of being a chariot to Chesed, I can understand why she wasn't connected to Malchut in that way for a correction purpose. By the same token, she could have been. So it's somewhat surprising to me.
And again, it's the first verse of the chapter, so we may find out more.
I'm sure we will. So let us go on.
Okay.
Pasuk 160. Chachatze kama hu havivuta Tekud shabarichu Legabeya de Abraham Dehala nafak mineya yitzak ad itgazar levatar itgazar itbasar beya yitzak begindi hu kedain zara tadisha viad la itgazar love Zara Tadisha Uktev Uktein Ihu Imadikti Vasher Zaro Bolaminehu. The translation: come and see. The love of the Holy One, blessed be He, for Abraham is so great that Isaac was not born until after Abraham was circumcised. And only after he was circumcised was he informed of Isaac, because only then was the seed holy. Before he was circumcised, the seed was not holy. And then it became as it is written, wherein is its seed after its kind? Which refers to a kind as holy as Abraham. My commentary. This pasuk leads to a number of questions regarding male sperm and the souls attached to these sperm. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I don't think I ever thought of souls being attached to sperm. I thought it was Hashem putting the soul into the child at another time. Knew something every day.
Well, it could be that I'm wrong in that assessment that the souls are attached to the sperm. But I did hear that from one of my teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, saying that one seed is holy and another one wouldn't be holy.
It's clear that that's an indication. There's some something attached to the sperm, and we know from our current modern science, we've seen pictures of the egg being surrounded by a multiple amount of sperm, and they're all trying to get in, and then the science says, although it's somewhat difficult to understand the picture, that the one that's going to be penetrating the wall of the egg, the others are supporting that. And it changes. They're all fighting to get in until it's decided which one will get in. And then once that's decided, but that decision is basically which soul is going to be impregnating the cell, the egg.
Which probably is dependent on the couple's thoughts and all during the marriage.
That is what Kabbalah teaches. Which soul is going to be the one that impregnates the egg, which sperm, is related to the unity of the thoughts of the couple at the moment of conception.
One year we took our children to Disney World, and exhibits of the show, because you all went in as a group, and it was like a movie. And it was a very wonderful video. Suitable that children could understand, well done, of how the egg is fertilized. And I thought that should be shown to everyone, the way it was done. It's really an impressive teaching as well as very tastefully done. But that was a long time ago.
The movie I saw was about 16 years ago, and the girls were shown a movie and the boys were shown a separate movie, and I don't think that is go ahead.
I have some questions about an individual soul being attached to each sperm. Are there an infinite number of souls, and if the sperm isn't particularly chosen at that time, what happens to the souls that are supposedly attached to that sperm? And what about the fact that children in whatever bardo they happen to be in have an impact in choosing the parents that they come to. So I don't see that every of the millions of sperms that are released, that each one has a soul. So then what would happen to that particular soul?
The questions are excellent, and they're accurate. Let's assume that there is a soul for each one of the billions of sperm, or millions of sperm, in that ejaculation. The sperm dies and the soul returns to where it came from.
So are there an infinite number of souls?
Ejaculation, let me finish, please. If the ejaculation is wasting of seed, is the terminology from the Torah. If the ejaculation is a wasting of seed, then that soul has been returned to the klipot, to the negative system. We also learn that the souls are actually created when there is zivug or sexual union between a couple that does not result in a child, or the sexual union between people who are past menopause, past child-rearing ages. With those that sexual union is creating the soul. And so the choice of which parent that soul chooses to come into the world is all related to that. Also, the idea that the sperm, when it's ejaculated, there's the body creates more sperm, and so there are now different souls that are going to be attached to the new sperm. And it may be that male is going to be impregnating a different woman. And so the soul is choosing it based on what is the ejaculation. Where is it going to end up? And there's some amount of foreknowledge to that effect. And I don't think I answered all of your questions. So please go ahead and ask more.
So does that imply that there are an infinite number of souls?
I'm not going to say that there are an infinite number of souls, but there are an expansive number of souls. There is a sufficient number for every sperm that it is ejaculated. And we have to remember that soul is also choosing the mother. And the mother has a limited number of eggs that she puts forward into the womb each month. She doesn't just put, sometimes it's more than one. That's where you get paternal twins. Sometimes it's multiple, and especially if you're doing it's a number of eggs that go in. So the soul is a connection. The soul that's attached to the sperm is only a male soul. It's not the complete soul, which is male and female together. And so the egg has its soul, its female soul. And the unity, what creates the child, is the unity of the male and the female. And even though that then becomes only one, it either becomes male or it becomes female, or it becomes the mixture. In the Talmud, there are seven different words in Hebrew for sex, S-E-X-E-S. And there's a lot of discussion in the Talmud about based on the different words that are used, whether that person has the right to receive certain parts of the sacrifice based on the different levels of holiness associated with that person.
Male produces the white blood cells, and once it enters into the female, the red blood cells are affected. So that would be the male and female community.
But we did learn that from the Zohar, that the female brings the red parts of the body, and the male brings the white parts of the body, without the really defining what red and white parts mean in total, whether it's different certain aspects that are related to that. But essentially, the female is bringing the internal, and the male is bringing the external parts of the body.
My first thought was that the sperm did have some red blood cells in it, some blood in it, when it was entered into the woman's body already, because of the unity of male and female on the spiritual side. They come down together. Now, one may not decide to come down and the other will, but my first thought is that it has the red and white blood cells in it when it becomes the sperm.
Yes. You can't take those colors literally.
Right.
Why not? Why can't you take the colors literally?
Because blood isn't transmitted in separate parts.
And that's how I connect what you said about the soul is connected to the sperm. Because the soul is in the blood.
The nephesh is in the blood, the lowest part of the soul. And the souls we're talking about, but keep in mind, the blood goes into the male organ and makes it erect. But that's not the blood that becomes the sperm. The blood that becomes the sperm is in the testicles. And the testicles don't grow with the erection. The sperm is in the testicles waiting for the erection, and then for lack of a better word, the pulse or the explosion, the ejaculation. But the ejaculation is putting out a clear liquid, which is coming from the sperm, not from the sperm, from the testicles, and that clear liquid is filled with sperm. And those sperm are literally parts of cells. I mean, they have 23 chromosomes, half of the 46 chromosomes. And so what's happening is the cells, that's part of the lymph system, not the blood system, the lymph system. It really isn't the lymph system because that's the cleansing system. But the fluid that goes into the testicles,
it's
cells
not made of blood.
It's into two different parts. One has 23 chromosomes, the other has another 23 chromosomes. And that's all of the 46 chromosomes of that male, of the person doing the ejaculation.
Okay. It kind of reflects back when a woman is pregnant and she doesn't bleed anymore. She has pure milk. So it's kind of like turning the red into the white blood cells. It's kind of a reverse action for the woman when she becomes pregnant. Just like the male produces the white cells, then all of a sudden when a woman's pregnant, she produces milk from her blood, which is just a fascinating thing to me. And if no one believes in the Almighty, that is a perfect example that the Creator exists.
Oh, the cow eats green grass and has white milk too. So.
Oh. First off, Malka, I agree with you.
If there's blood in your semen, you should see a doctor.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. If there is blood in the semen, there's a problem with the health system. But,
right.
So everybody's talking, and I want to get across. Malka, I agree with you that... that the woman transforms blood to milk, or however that is done, is an indication that the Creator is amazing and awesome, and proof that there is a Creator. But I think that, you think that, but not everybody in the world does. So we want to leave room for other people's opinions, even if they're wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, we are out of time, unless there's some quick question somebody wants to ask. Meryl, who said something about you can't take the colors literally, and I asked the question why you can't. But there's a possibility that the colors are not literal, that this is what the Zohar is expressing, and that it's not a scientific approach. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about how during my 3 pregnancies, I just wanted to be able to remember how it felt to feel the baby moving. And I came up with something, and that's if you have your hand on your cheek and you move your tongue, that's exactly how the baby feels when the baby moves while you're carrying it.
It's true. I just did it.
I'm not sure who said that or what they said. It was broke up.
Hannah
said, I heard. There was somebody said something right after that.
Oh, I said, I'm trying that example, and it does feel like it.
All I can say is I tried it, and I have no idea if it felt like it, but I understand. I get a sense of it.
It's
just a male cannot know what it's like to have a baby in the womb.
I'm telling you, it is.
Okay. We are out of time. Our the next class is going to be on the Ari's essay. One of the essays associated with the Parasha of Naso, because we have Shavuot, all night study or long night study is Thursday night, and we're not going to be reading Naso on this Shabbat, but we are going to be separation between the Torah that's read in the land of Israel in the Torah that's read in the diaspora this week, and it will last until we finish the book of Numbers. This was the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, the first parasha of Deuteronomy, is always where the separations become unified. So hope you all have a beautiful evening, and I hope you'll join us for the later class.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.